You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this is the Friday program. You did it. Congratulations for making it to the end of your week, and we're going to help you finish it off in style. I am John Corrales of the Raining Jays. Here solo for a moment, but it's not a solo podcast necessarily, because what I did was I had a 20-minute conversation on WEEI with Patrick Gilroy, wide-ranging conversation that just wrapped up. I'm recording this right now, right about midnight, Thursday going into Friday. I just got off the radio, and like I said, 20-minute conversation, so I'm just going to put that all in here and give you that conversation. A lot of cap stuff, talking about Kemba, talking about the possible upgrade in some ways from Kyrie Irving. Not that he's a better player than Kyrie Irving, but ways that the Celtics might do better with Kemba than with Kyrie. Now, yesterday's podcast was all about Kemba Walker, but in the course of Thursday, we heard from Woj that Kemba is, barring an unforeseen circumstance, going to be a Boston Celtic. And then Stephen A. Smith, who normally I don't trust, but was so specific in his reporting that almost impossible to make this up. I feel. Not to say that it's definite, but Stephen A. said that he was told that Kemba Walker has informed Michael Jordan and the Hornets that he's not coming back. It's not somebody tells me he's not coming back. It's basically he has told the team he's not coming back. And it's because Kemba was offered reportedly a 5-year deal worth $160+ million, which is more than he could get from the Boston Celtics in terms of years and money. However, for a guy who was possibly going to get the Supermax, even though no one believed that he was going to get the Supermax, for him to get really what that contract offer amounted to was barely more than he could make somewhere else. That 5 years, $160+ million, essentially is the max that the Celtics can offer or another team could offer, which is $32.7 million. Multiply by that by five with no raises, and that's 5 years, $160+ million. Now, you can bump that up and say, we know that other teams can offer you 32.7. We'll offer you 33 and a little bit more, but no raises. Or average annual value, 33. And that gets you up to 165, 166, 167, somewhere in that range, which is more than another team could offer. And they could say, look, this is more than you'll get anywhere else in terms of years, in terms of money. So this is your best offer. But from Kemba's standpoint, like, I get you listening, you sit there and say, okay, yeah, I can see why. That makes sense. You don't have to give a guy $200+ million because he made a third team All-NBA. Totally fine. I get that. But look at this from Kemba's perspective. From Kemba's perspective, he's sitting there saying, you want to lowball me, because you're trying to save on a tax bill, which is what the Hornets are trying to do, because their cap sheet is a friggin' mess. I mean, we talked about it on last night's podcast when Jay King was rattling off, you know, Willie Hernan Gomez, the God. Like, those guys are making a ton of money. Nick Batum, $25.5 million. Bismack Biyombo, $17 million. Marvin Williams, $15 million. Cody Zeller, $14.4 million. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, $13 million. All of those contracts are reasons that the Hornets are saying to Kemba Walker, a three-time All-Star now and All-NBA player, hey, dude, can you take less money? Because if you don't, we're going to have to pay a tax. And from Kemba's perspective, it's like, I didn't give those guys those contracts. That's your fault. And it's not Mitch Kupchak's fault. He didn't give them the contracts, but it's Michael Jordan's fault. I mean, his guys gave him those contracts. He approved those contracts. So Kemba, like, if I'm in that position, be like, that's not my fault. Why are you going to pay me less money? Because you don't want to pay those guys the tax. For what? You don't want to pay those guys that salary and save on the tax. Like, for what? Like, Michael Jordan, his net worth last year, according to Forbes, jumped from $350 million to $1.6 billion. He is a billionaire. He could sell the team right now, cash out, fluid, $1.5 billion. He still makes $100 million a year, I think, from Jordan Brand, which just signed Jason Tatum, by the way. So Jordan's not broke. He's just cheap. And if I'm Kemba, I'd be like, look, dude, you're rich. You're like billionaire rich. And you're trying to lowball me. You're trying to take money away from me because you don't want to spend it. Like, sorry, bro. No. That's no. I'm willing to take less money to help the team build and get other players. I'm not willing to take less money just because Michael Jordan doesn't want to spend money. That's a level, from a player perspective, that's a level of disrespect I'm not feeling. And that would piss me off. So it's no wonder that he's exploring other options. So getting a four-year max from the Celtics in terms of money and years versus taking that five-year offer, even though it's a little bit more money and it's an extra year and there's that security, it's not the money that's been important to Kemba necessarily. It's building something, and he's enjoyed Charlotte. And in the course of the next few days, Charlotte could step up and offer more. But I don't know that Michael Jordan's going to do that. I think Michael Jordan's a pretty adversarial guy. He'd be like, oh, really? All right, fine. Get out of here. You know, like, I feel like that's more of a Michael Jordan tactic than just like, oh, Kemba, no, wait, hold on. Let's talk about this. So I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. So who knows? But for now, it seems like Kemba Walker is going to be a Celtic. When on June 30th, or it's June 28th, which is just a few days away, on June 30th, when free agency officially opens and they can officially make that offer, it feels like that's something that's going to happen. Is it a smokescreen? Can it be a smokescreen? Sure. Because you think about who's offering up this information. It's not the team. This is going to be from a player. To say that he's going to Boston, that's got to come from an agent. Or somewhere close to a player. So Charlotte could step up, and this could be a ploy, could be, to get more money. But if Kemba's like, you know what, forget it, I'm done with this. I mean, also look at the situation. Look at that situation right now. I mean, that's one more year. You're 29 years old. And you want to sit there with all of those guys on the sheet this year? You're going to run into battle with Batum and Biyombo and Williams and Zeller and MKG? Where's that going to get you? That's getting you nowhere. You know that's getting you nowhere. So you look around, you scan the marketplace. Now, the only thing that's out there that kind of gets scary is that the Lakers have made a deal with the Wizards to clear out the last few guys and seemingly open up a $32 million slot that maybe Kemba could be like, whoa, hold on. Do I get to play with LeBron and AD? I didn't know that was an option. That can be scary. I get it. But for now, it seems like Boston's the thing. And we'll see if that changes. It could change. So I'm not going to treat this as anything definite. We'll see how that goes. We'll come back. When we come back, I'm going to split the WEEI hit that I did with Patrick Gilroy into two segments. So that's going to be segment two, segment three. I'll be back at the end at segment three to wrap up the show. Stick around for more. It's coming up next on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
John Corrales, you guys used to know him from Reds Army. Now you know him from Mavs Live. You find him on Twitter at Reds Army _ John. John, man, you're the best cap guy that I know. So how do you replace what's missing here? Even with the addition, and it's a damn good addition for the Boston Celtics. How do you replace the subtraction? I would say of Al Horford, assuming the Kemba Walker news is true.
Well, there are so many different paths that the Celtics could take. Each one gets more complicated. So the simplest path to Kemba Walker is renouncing the bird rights. The bird rights are the thing that allow teams to sign guys over the cap. You hold on to those guys. When you renounce them, it takes the temporary hold, a placeholder for their salary off of your cap sheet. That money, you can't spend that money until you either re-sign that guy or he leaves or you renounce his rights. So they would have to renounce everybody minus like Daniel Tice. They can hold on to like Daniel Tice to open up the cap space necessary for Kemba Walker. So that means that you can't hold on to Al Horford and then we'll re-sign Kemba and then sign Kemba and then re-sign Al Horford. That's not possible. The only cap space that you would have left is make a couple of million dollars, and you'd have what is known as a $4.7 million room mid-level exception. So you'd be able to spend $4.7 million max on a guy. Who's that?
And that's the problem. Like, who is that guy that's going to play for that? Is it Nerlens Noel? Is it JaVale McGee? Do those guys sort of get it done? I don't know. I don't know if they get it done.
Well, if you're looking at the construction of this team with Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, however that shakes out, getting a center that is very functional, not a guy that's going to be doing everything that Al Horford does. I mean, first of all, let me start with this. There's no replacing Al Horford. It's just, unless you're upgrading him to Nikola Jokic, I mean, you're not replacing Al Horford. So the next step is, well, what kind of center do you run with these guys? A guy who sets picks, who runs to the rim, like you said, Nerlens Noel. I mean, that's not a bad option. It really depends on this whole center market. There are names out there that I'm sure are not sexy names, but really functional names, and they'll just allow Kemba, Tatum, Brown, Hayward to do what they do. He'll set good picks. He'll rebound. He'll, you know, ideally there'd be somebody who can pop and hit a 15 footer, but somebody who can roll to the rim and require a defender to account for him, much like the Houston Rockets have used Clint Capella with James Harden, a guy that sets the picks, runs hard, that you can throw an alley-oop to, that can finish. He doesn't do a ton else, but he can, on the other end, defend and rebound. That's the type of center the Celtics are going to have. They're not going to run their offense through an Al Horford type. They're going to have to run their offense through the perimeter and use guys, the wing guys, the Jays and Kemba to run their offense.
John, you brought up Clint Capella, and he's been the guy that on Twitter, every Celtics fan has sort of pointed to stories out there that Houston is looking to free up some money. He may be available in some sort of a three-team trade. If the Celtics were to get involved in something like that, correct me if I'm wrong, wouldn't they have to, at a minimum, say goodbye to guys like maybe Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown, even a guy like Gordon Hayward? I don't think anybody would take his contract right now, but you're looking at an exiting significant role player on this basketball team if you are to add a guy like Clint Capela through a trade. Am I right here?
You are, but again, like I said, there's acrobatics that can be done by people much smarter than me, the Mike Zarens of the world. It could just be how you time things out. Like, you don't have to renounce the rights to all of these guys right away. You can stay over the cap and match salaries one way and then make other trades to maybe you acquire a Kemba Walker in a sign and trade in a different way. But going back to the simplest possible way that they can do this, which again is renouncing the rights to everybody, signing Kemba with cap space, getting involved with a three-team trade. Yes, somebody else is going to have to go out. It may be Gordon Hayward. And I have had conversations with people who are positing things like, well, Hayward could go to Philly in this desperation mode because they're trying to get Jimmy Butler. You send out Jimmy Butler on a max salary. You take in Gordon Hayward on a max salary, and then Clint Capela and maybe a couple of other guys, because the Rockets would need to get rid of Capela. They would need to get rid of Eric Gordon would have to go, and P.J. Tucker. Because when you receive a guy in a sign-and trade, you're hard capped at a number about $6 million above the luxury tax, and that would be too much money. They literally would not be allowed to make that trade. So they need to get rid of those guys to clear enough space below the hard cap. So the Celtics would have to take probably all three of those guys, which, I mean, look, if you're now building around Kemba Walker, turning Gordon Hayward into Clint Capela, Eric Gordon, and P.J. Tucker is not bad, because you open up room for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to spread their wings. You've got your rim running big. You've got Gordon and Tucker coming off the bench. I mean, to me, that's a hell of a way to boost your bench. But that's really a desperation mode for everybody, because I think Philly in this scenario would have to also lose Tobias Harris. And this would be a way for them to say, well, we need another wing somehow, and we're just going to clasp our hands and pray to the heavens that Gordon Hayward comes in and is getting close to his all-star level. And that may make them willing to do the deal.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It's late night. It is Patrick Gilroy with you guys, joining me on the line right now from MassLive.com. It is John Corrales. And John, over the course of the last 10 hours or so here on EEI, the talk is sort of dominated in and around Kemba Walker. And the overwhelming notion by Ordway, by Mark James, is that when you look at this guy versus the outgoing point guard in Kyrie Irving, that there's no doubt in their mind that Kyrie is a superior basketball player. Yet I've heard the national talking heads say that the difference between them is negligible, but Kemba Walker is going to be a much better chemistry guy, a much better guy when it comes to the Celtics locker room, and more or less an extension of what Brad Stevens is trying to implement here. So when you look at all of these sort of factors that you have to put into this big bowl of soup that Danny Ainge is working with, are the Celtics a better basketball team moving forward with Kemba Walker or with Kyrie Irving?
Well, that's a tough question, because better is relative. They can play better. It's possible to play better with Kemba Walker. First of all, Kemba he was a third-team All-NBA guy, and he's now an All-Star for three straight seasons. So for Kemba, He's a fantastic basketball player. What he's not a dominant ball handler. He's not an elite ball handler that Kyrie Irving is. And Kyrie Irving does some things at a level that no one else can. And so Kyrie can create shots that no one else can create for themselves, save for maybe like a couple of guys at the top of the NBA. And through that can create opportunities for other people. However, why can the Celtics be better in some ways with Kemba, because Kemba, because he can't do a lot of those things, isn't going to go off on his own individual missions sometime. It isn't going to be pulling up from 30 feet out of nowhere when there's momentum going a different way. He's not going to be looking for his own shot quite the same way that Kyrie did, which means he's going to be playing more into that read and react Brad Stevens style. And therefore, he's going to be moving the ball more, which means more touches for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and more opportunity for the guys in the perimeter to get into a flow and get into that kind of Warriors type basketball where the ball's moving, picks are being set off the ball behind the play. And even when one guy has the ball, other players are being active. So it's almost like when Kevin Durant went down and before Klay Thompson got hurt, and you look at the way the Warriors are playing. Obviously, they're better with Kevin Durant, but the style of play was a little bit more aesthetically pleasing because they had to move a lot more and move the ball more. So I think that's the effect that Kemba Walker will have. Obviously, Kyrie's a better basketball player, but the style of basketball can be a little bit more fluid with Kemba.
So there's this overwhelming thought in my mind and this fear in my mind, John, that this is a bit of a panic move from Danny Ainge. And I say that because last week, after we heard the news about Kyrie Irving officially not coming back and what that meant for Aaron Baines and Al Horford, I feel like Celtics fans started to accept the fact that it's okay. We're going to, you know, grow with the kids here. It's going to be Jason Tatum's team, Jaylen Brown's team, and we're going to see how far these kids can take us and see where their development goes. Now, all of a sudden, you're bringing in a guy that's, 29 years old in Kemba Walker to go alongside these two young kids here. So let's say it takes Tatum two or three more years to reach his full potential. Well, now Kemba Walker's on year three of a four-year deal at 32, 33 years old. I mean, in your mind, do the timelines match up in a way that can be most effective when it comes to the Celtics' hopes of eventually turning this into a championship team?
I think there's... It's not exactly, when we talk about timelines, it's not exactly like lined up, because what we're talking about with timelines is guys of similar age growing together and kind of becoming their best all at the same time. So no, not in that sense. But for Kemba, in getting a point guard like that, a guy who's been through a lot with bad teams, you've got a guy that has seen a lot in the NBA, has a calmness about him, and can help these guys, I think, mentor in a lot of ways. The perseverance aspect, the making sure you appreciate these moments. I think one thing, a big difference between Kemba and Kyrie that impacts the locker room is that Kyrie came in and really has a disdain for the regular season. Like, he said many, many, many times that essentially the regular season doesn't matter. And that is, it runs counter to everything that Brad Stevens says and preaches, because he wants to build good habits from day one. And Kemba is the opposite, I believe. I think he plays more into the build more habits, good habits from day one, because he's seen how important a regular season is. He knows that playoff positioning is important. All he knows is the Charlotte Hornets and fighting tooth and nail every day. So he hasn't been alongside LeBron James, and he hasn't had that, well, I can just turn this on when I want to. He knows the value of the work. So having that guy alongside your two young guys, I think that has significant value. And frankly, if in two or three years it starts to lose its value, then You can try to explore trades. I mean, there's always going to be a possibility for moving a player like that. We're seeing players of all salaries being moved. So he's not going to be on any sort of untradeable contract. there's always going to be something that happens down the road, unforeseen, that I think you can they'd be able to pivot. And if they need to move on from Kemba in 3 years, they could probably do that.
John, were you more of a fan of the Celtics making a move like this for Kemba with their money, or say bringing back a guy like Rozier and spending $26-27 million a year on a guy like Vucevic?
Well, I'm not a big fan of bringing back Rozier, so any plan that involves bringing Rozier back is something that I'm generally not for. Although I do see a value play if there was no Kemba in signing Rozier to a 2-year deal, player option in the second year, allowing him to play for his money, because next year is free agents. And one of the reasons why I'm okay with the Kemba Walker signing, that I don't think it's a panic move, is that next year's free agents are not, it's not a good class. I mean, Kyle Lowry is going to be in his mid-30s. Hayward is potentially in that class. But then you've got names like Otto Porter Jr. and Paul Mills. There's just not a lot of good names. So for a guy like Rozier, he could play his way into that and really have more value in next year's free agency. But I get the Vooch thing. My feeling with Vooch is he's going to get a max deal from somebody else, like the Sacramento Kings. And I think Vucevic for 4 years, $90 million can be pretty valuable, and you can make a case for a non-Kemba point guard with that. But Vooch at the max, if I'm spending max money, I'd rather spend it on Kemba Walker because he's tough, and I want to spend my max money on a guy that has the ball in his hands and knows what to do with it at the end of games, rather than a guy who needs to be fed the ball, because centers, for as great as they are, they can't close games as well as elite guards or high-end guards, and Kemba's got ice water in his veins. So I'd rather have that guy than Vucevic for max money.
All right, last one for me, John. Which big three takes you further? A big three of Kyrie, Al Horford, and Jason Tatum, or a big three of Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, and Jason Tatum?
You know, on paper, I'm tempted to say Kyrie, Horford, and Tatum, because they're better players. They're better players. But we just saw a season of those three guys not work out, and probably mostly because Kyrie, the influence of him, and I don't know what the growth is going to be from Tatum. I feel like there's going to be more growth on the Kemba side. So the talent-wise, you look at it and you want to say, well, yeah, Kyrie and Al Horford play better together. That's going to take you further than the other group. But I think realistically, having seen everything, the chemistry and the ability to work together, add in the fact that if they do keep Gordon Hayward the entire year, which I'm not sold on, I think the chemistry, the fluidity, and the ability to get the most out of each other makes it probably the Kemba Hayward Tatum trio, even though they're definitely not as talented as the other one.
And I know I said that was my last one, but Mark Stein tweeting out the last few minutes that Kyrie Irving remains as much a target for the Lakers as Kawhi Leonard does. League sources say now that the Lakers are sure they can open up a max spot, they are swinging for the fences despite all the signals that have pointed Irving to Brooklyn. What are the chances here that we see Kyrie back with LeBron James out there in L.A.?
I wouldn't be surprised, because it really hinges on what Durant does. And I don't think that Brooklyn is, speaking of all of the things that we saw this past year in Boston, I don't think that Brooklyn is going to just take Kyrie with no one else. And if it just feels like it's going to be just Kyrie, then they might as well just re-sign D'Angelo Russell and kind of go with what works and spend less money to get, I mean, not the same production, because Kyrie's an obviously better player, but taking him on in that baggage without a megastar next to him, I can see why they might balk at that. And he's obviously not going to come back to Boston, so the Lakers become the next obvious place, which would be Wild, it would make that team pretty damn good. Although I don't know how they would build that team, because they basically, in that scenario, they'd have the three megastars there, but what are they going to fill out the rest of their roster with, like, minimum contracts, which is going to be insane to watch.
I mean, you played professionally, you collected a check playing basketball. So, I mean, you tell me, the most overused expression of the day, I feel like, has been that Kyrie Irving is a better basketball player than Kemba Walker. And maybe one-on-one, if they played a one-on-one game, maybe Kyrie beats Kemba, you know, 11-7 or 11-8 or something. I don't know. But the NBA is played 5-on-5. And I feel like when you look at everything that we've learned about Kyrie over the last couple of years, what he is and what he isn't, and you look at the addition by subtraction from the locker room atmosphere in professional NBA basketball, I feel like Kemba Walker is a better option as a player than Kyrie Irving, despite Kyrie having a little bit more talent than Kemba Walker does. Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Look, and again, I think you're on the right path there by saying, like, one-on-one, Kyrie probably beats Kemba, like, most times. But in the – when you're talking about an 82-game NBA season, that's a long haul. And it's not just basketball and practices and workouts and whatever. This is a long marathon of a season, and the influence that a guy has if he's not in the right mindset. And Kyrie, honestly, my opinion changed about Kyrie when in the Milwaukee series he couldn't do it. He promised all along in the regular season that things are going to be different in the playoffs, and then when the spotlight was its hottest, He couldn't win a game in Milwaukee. So a guy who thinks that he's a number one option, but who can't carry his team no matter how he's defended, that's a problem, because he's going to still carry himself, but he's not going to have the same results. And so over the course of 82 games and 8 months, that wears a lot. And it's just such a different feeling in a locker room. So a more positive influence like Kemba Walker can make up for whatever talent gap there is, especially when we've seen the relationships with Kyrie and the younger guys just not materialize the way that we thought they would. Just by the simple fact of having a good point guard, great point guard, even if you want to say he's not elite, in there and having a good relationship with everybody in the locker room and guys being happier and playing free, it's one of those things that I can't explain, but I know, having been a player, playing free just makes you so much better as a basketball player. When you can relax and just go out there and not worry and not be tense, I mean, that's like in a video game boosting all of your ratings by like 5 or 10% just by virtue of playing free and just going out there playing basketball, not being worried, not being pissed off and all of that other stuff. So that's where Kemba makes things better.
So his name is John Corrales. You read his stuff at masslive.com. Follow him on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John. And John, come late next week, I believe, we'll actually have some basketball to talk about. You know how well we overreact here in Boston to what young stars do in the summer league.
Oh, yeah.
What are the chances that 7'6" Taco is going to do something out there that makes Celtics fans believe that their big man problem has been solved? Taco is going to be the answer.
I think you're right on the money with this. Taco Fall is going to dunk on a lot of people, a lot of people in summer league. It may be a whole lot of false hope, because you just throw alley-oops and he just gets on his tippy toes and slams it home. And because of the level of competition at Summer League, it's going to make him look a lot better than he is. But we'll watch for it, man. I'm very curious to see what transferable skills he has. But when a 7'6" guy goes undrafted, there's
a bit of a red flag.
There's a reason for that. So,
all right,
we'll
John. I will catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Patrick Gilroy, for having me on. That was fun. A nice conversation on WEEI.
Follow Patrick Gilroy on Twitter. He is at Gilroy on Hoops. So check him out there. Before we go, one last little bit of business, but a very cool bit of business. The Boston Celtics are apparently ready to hire Kara Lawson as an assistant coach. Kara Lawson is formerly of the Washington Mystics, Connecticut Sun, Sacramento Monarchs. She is a long decorated WNBA player. She has been an analyst for the Washington Wizards broadcasts. She has won Olympic gold. She has coached Olympic gold. She has she's a very, very accomplished basketball person. So it is very, very cool that the Celtics are doing this. And I am excited that the number of women in the coaching ranks is growing. We are up to, what, 8 or 9 women as assistant coaches? And frankly, I'm glad that it's getting to this point that we're just going to, I think, slowly stop even remarking that it's women. That they just have hired Kara Lawson and boom, done. End of story. To me, my take on all of this is there. If you can expand the talent pool beyond just men, then you now have access to hundreds, thousands, millions of people who know basketball and can help your team. And it comes from a different perspective. One of my favorite things, I had, in one of my prior jobs, I was working at WNYW in New York City. And that was my last TV job before I got out and joined Mass Live and joined the Celtics beat full time. But one of the things that I loved about that job was the morning meeting, which was always too early and I hated getting to it. But our morning news meeting, where it was the exchange of ideas, the free exchange of ideas, and dissenting ideas were encouraged. It made for some really interesting meetings, and it made for some really interesting, heated discussions, of which I was at the center of many, because I'm not shy about offering up my opinions. But the point there is that we had a very diverse group of people, men, women, black, white, Jewish, different cultures. We had an Iranian woman. We had a Japanese woman. We had like just all of these different gay, straight, like we had all of these different groups represented at the table, which means a story that felt important, we would get it from a bunch of different perspectives. So I, not being a Jewish woman, wouldn't see certain things that she would see. And so, or what a gay man would see. And because I don't have that level of experience, that life experience. And you say something and then somebody else says, well, but, and says something you wouldn't expect, maybe something you didn't see. And that allows you to get to the heart of the story and to really understand things from a lot of different perspectives. Like, oh, you know what? I didn't think of that. Because you're not that person, so you don't think of that. Same thing in basketball. Okay? A woman has a different perspective in basketball, especially somebody who, like Kara Lawson. I mean, she is as accomplished a basketball player as just about anybody you're going to find on a coaching staff, especially. So she sees things from a different perspective. So Brad Stevens can say blah, 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 and she could say something that maybe no other assistant coach could say or think of because of her life experience. Different life experiences bring different perspectives to the table. And the more diverse perspectives you can bring, the better, because now you're seeing a situation, be it a story like I was talking about, or a play, what could happen, a grouping, a mentality that Kara could see that somebody else can't see. She'd be like, oh, yeah, I understand this. And maybe somebody else doesn't. I'm all for it. Open it up. The more diversity you can get into a situation, the better you're going to be at problem solving. I think that's very, very important. So kudos to the Celtics for bringing Kara Lawson in. I'm very excited to talk to her and see what she's got to say. This is going to be, I think, great. And the more women we can get into this pipeline, the better, because it just means more people, man or woman, that are going to be really good at figuring out basketball things. The greater the pool of people who you have that can potentially figure out basketball things, the better at basketball you're going to be. So that's the bottom line. Thanks everybody for listening. Enjoy your weekends. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're pretty close to summer league, so the next few weeks can be some interesting podcasts here. We'll be in Vegas. We'll still do a few podcasts before we go to Vegas, but then we'll be in Vegas. All of us, we're going to be, well, me and Jay are going to be in Vegas, and we'll figure something out while we're there. It's going to be a very interesting week there. So please subscribe to the podcast. If you're a new listener, hope you've appreciated this and enjoyed this show. Go ahead and subscribe wherever podcasts are available, however you're listening at this moment. Just keep doing that thing and your podcast will come to you as soon as they publish. We also really enjoy, because it's an ego boost, reading those good reviews. Those are always fun. Don't you want to read good things about yourself? So please write good things about us. I hope you enjoy this podcast enough to write those good things, and we'll read them. We like seeing those 5 stars lit up too, so give us that 5-star rating. Share the podcast. When somebody says, what should I be listening to? I want a Celtics podcast to listen to. You say, hey, you should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked On Celtics.